Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Today on Fugitive Waves, a man tapes his town. The unrelenting oral histories of Eddie McCoy. Oral history is what first brought the Kitchen Sisters together. We spent our first few years working together, roaming our region, interviewing ranchers and fishermen and rodeo riders, beauty pageant contestants, surfers, Italian grandmothers. The first time Davia and I headed out to do an oral history together, it was a disaster. We kept dropping the mic, fumbling with the 20-foot cord. I have no idea why we thought we needed a 20-foot cord. It was painful. But Mr. William Perry Bryant, a plant breeder and a nurseryman who'd been working in town since the 1930s, was blind, so he didn't see us struggling. That experience could have just as easily nipped our career in the bud. So oral history, it's still the way we work, interviewing people for hours and hours. And we're always on the hunt for oral histories that other people have done, others possessed by the need to capture history and life through sound. That brings us to Eddie McCoy of Oxford, North Carolina, a tobacco town of some 10,000 people, located 50 miles north of Raleigh. Eddie began recording the life and lore of his town on a scavenged cassette recorder, interviewing his neighbors, friends, and total strangers. A self-made historian, Eddie records the who, what, when, where, and why of slavery times, sharecropping, the civil rights era, and so much more of his hometown. Today's story, produced with Lita Hartman, A Man Tapes His Town, the unrelenting oral histories of Eddie McCoy.
Let me ask you a question. Why did Oxford grow? What happened over there? You know, why did people come to Oxford? I want to know about what took place.
I'm curious.
Why did they?
I'm nosy.
What happened over there?
That's what oral history and interviews is. So you got it. Your mind got to go to work. You know what you want, but you got to figure out how to get it. You ask one thing, they come out with another thing. You got to come back with another thing. A little surprises. It's fascinating what they'll tell you. You don't ever know what's going to hit you. A lady told me, said, I know a man that's 110 and ride a bicycle. Said, go talk to him. And I said, okay.
I'm Eddie McCoy. This morning I'm out in Mr. Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of Mr. Harris. What's your first name, Mr. Harris?
Matt Harris.
I'm out of Mr. Matt Harris. Mr. Matt Harris, how old are you?
110 years old.
110 years old. Do you know what year, what month you was born in?
I'm James Eddie McCoy. I've been messing with this stuff ever since 1979. I interviewed over 140 people. I've got about 150 tapes.
What I want you to tell me this morning is, tell me about the history of your life, and we're going to talk about the history of Oxford and what you remember and the changes. And tell me if we can start with you and your brother and your father.
Hope put your first concrete in Oxford.
You put the first concrete.
Concrete in Oxford.
Where was this at?
I said, I hope put the first concrete in Oxford.
The first concrete?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was born in Grammar County, Oxford, April the 1st, 1942. Oxford was a quiet community. Wasn't anything exciting here. Just train come by twice a day. Practically everybody lived in shotgun houses. No paint on them. A dirt yard. Got old rugs on the floor, linoleums. You can pull up the linoleum and got cracks in the floors. You can feed the chickens and punch food through the floor. It's hot as the devil in the summertime and cold as the devil in the wintertime. Today, Mrs. Davis and I will be talking about this era she was raised up in.
I was born in Granville County right over the year of 1906. We got life in this area, 1947.
Okay, because in Oxford on another side was 1950.
Yeah, we got 1947. George Patterson, all of us on this roof got life.
Let me ask you, what happened when you got the washing machine?
Now, Lord, that was the best
thing. Tell me that.
Lord, that was overwhelming.
And got rid of all that blue in the water.
My name is David Soselsky. I'm a historian at the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And that's how I stumbled onto Eddie McCoy's work.
What about coin shuckers and stuff like
that? Oh, Lord, that was a good time.
He's interviewed the janitors and the African-American teachers and the railroad workers and the tenant farmers and sharecroppers, the black physicians, just anybody and everybody.
Oh, everybody in the community come around, and Mama would cook the best food and never see so much food.
Now, I want you to explain to young people that will be listening to your work.
Here at the Southern Oral History Program, we have, I think, the largest collection in the South. It's incredibly diverse, done by hundreds of interviewers. But Eddie's is distinctive in a way that I've never seen before. And in my eyes, it had to do with kind of who Eddie is and what he brings to it.
Well, you're a school teacher. Tell me why we can't do it now. You've been around.
I just don't know.
I was in a wreck. I messed up all my muscles and nerves in my back and neck. And I couldn't do anything. And I lost a lot of my business and everything. Janitorial business. 35 people working for me. I couldn't take that. Could you imagine that? I've been doing that all my life. I went to a doctor, referred me to a psychiatrist, and he asked me, what could I do? And I told him I couldn't do nothing. He said, can you use your head? I said, no, I can't use my head. What if I use my head? Probably never use my head. I always use my hands. What you do part-time? You ever done anything use your head? I said, I mess around with books. I mess around with research. I've done stuff like that, bummed around with it. He said, why don't you do it? I started going to the library. I joined a genealogy class and started working from there. May the 1st, 1995.
June.
I'm James Eddie McCoy. Time is 6 o'clock. I visit with Mrs. Lucy Jones, 520 Hancock Street. What year was you born?
1915, June 14. I ain't never been married once in my life.
Oh, yeah?
One time.
That's good.
I hurt nobody's feeling. If I can't help you, I don't hurt you.
Me too.
I love people. Did you know there's a lot of white people in town that will mistreat you and don't mean it? Did you know it?
Uh-uh. And don't mean it?
Yeah.
What?
They have to do it to stay white.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got something like that. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. When I started messing with research, I thought you had to have a master's degree, a doctor's degree, or finish college. I did. I came up in the street. If you come up in the street, you learn all walks of people, how they tick.
Eddie grew up on the streets of Oxford. His daddy owned a pool hall. His daddy was kind of a renowned, let's call him a hustler. He found ways to make his family survive and to do it with dignity. Eddie served in the army. He learned how to fight. He hung out at the Soul Food Cafe, which was that was kind of the hangout for the civil rights movement in Oxford. This is not the background that most of the historians out there listening to the Forgotten Voices of the South have.
It's like fortune teller. Listen to stories that people tell you what they did. That's all fortune teller is. It's putting together, it's kind of using skills, it's reading people.
Okay, what's your name? Tell me your name first.
My name is Novella. Now, my daddy, he was a baby, he said. His daddy went and cut his hand off because he didn't want to be sold. Cut his hand off, keep him being sold. That was slavery time, I'm telling you.
And he didn't die?
No.
They stopped the bleeding.
He was sold. His daddy was sold.
When Eddie McCoy calls, people know exactly who they're talking to, and they're going to talk to Eddie like they won't talk to anybody else. They also know what he did in the Civil Rights Movement. They've at least heard tell of it.
Fresh memories to me. You is one of us. Did you know it?
I've been around. Yeah.
You is one of us.
Yeah, I've been around this family a long time.
Eddie was a leader in the Civil Rights Movement in Oxford. And I'm not talking about just nice, peaceful marches down through the streets of Oxford. I mean, he did those things too, and sit-ins. It was a very violent Civil Rights Movement that they had in Oxford. A lot of Klan, a lot of white terrorism. The African-American people in Oxford did not just sit down and take that.
Well, the community roused up and they started burning the town down. It was tough around here for about 2 or 3 months. I don't care what nobody said. You got to have violence. Martin Luther King was fine. I wouldn't have followed him nowhere. Anything threaten your livelihood, you're going to react. You got to show them. They're from Missouri. That's the way you get their attention. In the Civil Rights Movement, you got to hit them.
Eddie came through all that. He becomes a successful businessman, city councilor, first African-American elected to the county commission in Granville County. Eddie got some college, but by and large, he's really a completely self-trained historian.
You know why they call Brown's
Corner. No, where's Brown Corner at?
One of the oldest buildings in town, all I can tell you. It's called a place that they call Brown's Corner.
Was that where all the blacks used to hang out at and talk?
That's right, that's right.
Brown's Corner.
That's right.
And that's where everybody used to stand.
That's right.
And people still stand there now.
All right.
And the well was right in the center of the street.
That's right.
That's where the horse well was.
Right.
Oh, y'all had a good time on that corner, didn't you?
Yeah.
All these books, I've been through the library and done research on the whole county. All the churches in the county, I went through and tried to pick, get all the books, all these boxes. Here's research out of county government buildings, city government, city buildings and all that. This box here, this contained everybody that went to jail from about 1953 up to 1960. I wish I could get the book before that. Everybody that went downtown to jail. I tried to look for my parents' families before I got into this. And I would go to Virginia, go down to Morris County, North Carolina, and look around. And I just couldn't ever get anywhere. My father was an orphanage boy here in town. My mother was adopted, and she don't know anything about her family. She was hauled around with different people. People in my genealogy class said that's why I got so interested in research, is because I couldn't do anything with my family. I wanted to probe. And I started doing it with other people. And I didn't pick families. I do the history of Granville County. So that gave me an avenue into everybody's family. Ms. Harris, what was the farm and plantation you was born on?
Cheatham, Tom Cheatham.
Tom Cheatham.
Uh-huh.
How old are you, Ms. Harris?
I am 89 years old.
89?
89. I don't tell you about my age because it's none of our business.
Oh, I won't reveal
it. All right, then. I was born 18 and 92. Women had those white babies. They could not help themselves because the master made them do it. But you don't have to put that down there.
When the black women had the babies for the white men.
Yeah, don't you put that down there. I
that's not fair to me.
Yes, it is. It's fair to me. Cause I don't know.
Imagine Oxford and Granville County as a place where it's poor. It's a lot of small communities that are withering away. The young people, particularly young African-American people, can't stay. They're moving off to cities. And here, Eddie McCoy, who's lived in town all his life, is coming and cares about what they lived through, cares enough to sit down and visit.
I said, now, what is I'm doing to live the long and average man? What have I did to do that?
If you collect your information now and your resources now and put it away, in 50 or 30 years, somebody going to come back and want this stuff. And then that's what to be gained. Collect your stuff now. That's what happened with slavery. We waited too late to get the best part of it.
Now, why are you taking all this best for?
We having fun talking about the old days,
that's
you and
right.
I.
That is true. I hadn't thought of it like that.
Raining, we ain't got nothing else to do but sit around and talk about what... We lost our history. They want to talk about the future. How can you go to the future without the past? That's why I want to do it. Don't wait too late.
Everything seemed like a dream to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long.
Uh-huh. Did you always go to church?
Hi, may I speak with Eddie?
Oh, hold on a moment.
Thank you.
You got your phone?
Hello.
Hi, Eddie. It's Nikki Silva of the Kitchen Sisters. We did that story about you several years ago for National Public Radio. How are you?
Getting older, but otherwise I'm great. Still out here in the struggle.
Yeah? I just wanted to call and catch up with you and see what you've been up to. We're going to play your story again on our podcast.
Well, I'm in a documentary now. That's going across the country. And other things, you know, doing research on churches, and I picked about 52 churches that was started from 1865 to about 1950. I go in and go to white churches like the Presbyterian Church and ask them to go in there minutes and find out how many slaves was in their church. And then I track them out of their church into black churches. That's what I'm working on.
Wow, that's a lot of research. Tell me a little bit about the documentary. What's it about?
It's called Racial Taboo, RACIALTABOO. There's a trailer on it, taboo.com. The white Methodist church is showing a lot because they are wide open in the South talking about race issues. It's going big in Kentucky, too. Real big in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Well, I'm so glad, Eddie, that you are still up to your work because it's pretty important stuff you're doing.
Yeah, it's getting hard, though, girl. You can't recruit these young people.
No?
Because of technology.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stay focused long. you know, they don't. Their mind is just like electricity. It's everywhere.
Well, thanks, Eddie. I'm so glad you're still doing this.
We'll keep in touch, okay?
Yes, let's keep in touch. Okay, bye-bye. The Unrelenting Oral Histories of Eddie McCoy was produced by Lita Hartman and the Kitchen Sisters, mixed by Jim McKee. It's part of the Lost and Found Sound series produced by the Kitchen Sisters and Jay Allison with NPR, with support from the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities. We first heard about Eddie McCoy from Jacqueline Dowd Hall, Professor Emerita at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and founding director of one of our favorite places, the Southern Oral History Program. This remarkable institution has collected more than 5,000 interviews with people from all walks of life, from civil rights leaders to future presidents of the United States. The Southern Historical Collection is available online. You can check it out at sohp.org. We'd also like to thank Professor David Ciesielski from the Southern Oral History Project. He's the author of the article, Eddie McCoy's Struggle for Freedom.
The Kitchen Sisters present is part of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary cutting-edge podcasts created by independent producers.
Radiotopia from PRX is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation, and thanks to AdSerc for providing their ad-serving platform to Radiotopia.
If you are interested in supporting this and other podcasts like it, email sponsor@prx.org.
You're listening to the Kitchen Sisters present. Stories from the flip side of history.
Radiotopia.